The Pontifical Missionary Societies in the UK have relaunched their work throughout England and Wales, adopting a new name which they hope will give new impetus to the vital work of supporting churches in some of the poorest countries of the world. The new title which the societies have chosen is Missio, stressing a unity of purpose in supporting the pastoral needs of these younger churches. Taken from the Latin verb to send out, the name Missio is also used by other Catholic churches in Europe, and on its logo has a cross stressing the life-giving service at the heart of the church's mission. On Wednesday, Archbishop Vincent Nicholls celebrated a special mass in Westminster Cathedral, praising the work of the four distinct organisations that together made up the Pontifical Mission Societies.
Through these societies, help is given to all the missionary dioceses, 1,069 of them. The worldwide Pontifical Mission Societies support 194,000 schools, 5,246 hospitals, 17,000 dispensaries, 577 leprosy centres, and 80,000 other social and pastoral projects. We thank God for this work, for the inspiration and the generosity which makes it possible, and for you, all in this country, who contribute towards it.
Other groups in the church are concerned with social development, with economic development, but for us, the sole basis for our existence is sharing the faith, giving of our faith and receiving from the faith of others.
Monsignor John Dale is National Director of Missio in England and Wales. He told my colleague Susie Hodges more about the purpose of this rededication and the work that the societies are doing.
It's the Pontifical Mission Societies that have been in existence in one form or another since 1822, when Pauline Jaricot founded the Association for the Propagation of the Faith. And that's the largest lay mission movement in the church. And for that reason, we're praying constantly for the canonization of Pauline Jaricot. The second one to be founded then was in 1842, which was the Society of Holy Childhood. Bishop Forbin Jansen founded it. And he's got this tremendous enthusiasm for children helping children. Children praying for each other, children supporting and rescuing each other. At the time, as you'd know, in the middle of the 19th century, there was still a lot of child slavery. These days, the issues are a little bit more different, but it's slavery to other kinds of powers, and children support and pray for each other through Holy Childhood. The Society of St. Peter the Apostle was founded then by the mother and daughter pair of Stephanie and Jean Bigard in the late 19th century in northern France. And that now supports the training of over 31,000 major seminarians throughout the mission territories of the church. Without SPA, St. Peter Apostle, it would not be possible. There would be men and women novices who would be queuing up to explore their vocations to serve the church, but no means of supporting them. So SPA does the most remarkable job there. It's a real jewel in the crown of the church. And then the gentle one that underpins it all is the Pontifical Missionary Union, which was a latecomer. It was named as Pontifical in just 1952. But it's, if you like, the intellectual and spiritual wing of the other three societies. And again, because of the encouragement it gives to priests and lay people about the overseas mission, the universal mission of the church, does a wonderful job.
And apart from now calling yourself Missio, are you planning or foreseeing any other changes to your work or activities or the focus of your activities?
No, I think nothing can change because we have a very specific role within the church, a very particular charism. But I think what we must do from now on is proclaim our mission for the church and for the world in new ways, in using all the media available, using modern language, using strong images, if you like, websites, and so on. So this will give us, I think, a boost to our confidence, a boost in the sense to our sense of being of service to the church and the world.
And how are you financed? Is it entirely through donations?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't get any grants from either government or other organisations. Everything comes from the collections of ordinary Catholic lay people.
And where do most of the donors come from? Have you got any kind of breakdown?
Yes, I don't like to say it too loudly, but the Archdiocese of Liverpool is by far the most generous in terms of its generosity to the missions. But I think generally throughout the country, people are just very, very kind. There would tend to be, as there is in so many church activities, a preponderance of slightly older givers, but then they probably have a little bit more disposable income anyway. We do rely heavily on the, albeit variable, income that comes in from legacies, from people leaving money in their wills. But there is a very, very broad spread, and the monies are remaining constant.
Despite the global turndown?
Yeah, despite that, they're remaining constant. We're obviously, every charity is anxious as to what their end-of-year results will be. But for the moment, the indications are fairly good.
Tell us something about some of your, shall we say, star fundraising projects, or some of the ones that you have visited or been most closely involved with.
OK, I think there's a couple of ways of tackling. I think our best fundraiser is this unique little object we have, the Red Box, which was given to us as a present by Mill Hill Missionaries and by the Bishops of England and Wales in 1935. And in cooperation with Mill Hill, we have those boxes planted in practically every Catholic home in the country. And they raise a huge amount of money. It's our principal source. And because it's been around for so long, the Red Box has a kind of iconic value. Everyone knows the Red Boxes when they don't know Pontifical Mission Societies, when they don't know Missio or Association for the Propagation of the Faith. They know the Red Box. So that's the fundraising side. I think in terms of where the money goes, well, we have some very good relationships with dioceses across the world. We have good friends in Pakistan, in India, in South Africa, West Africa. And these are dioceses that we've supported through all the ups and downs over many, many years. But I suppose the one kind of branch of our relationships that I'd be most proud of is through the St. Peter Apostle Society, through SPA. We have five seminaries that we support consistently in India, Sri Lanka, Kenya, Nigeria, and Malawi. And these are seminaries that are varying in size, but the Bigard Seminary in Nigeria that we support is by far the largest seminary in the world, with over 1,000 major seminarians. It's a joy for us to be part of that growth, that life in the spirit there in Nigeria.
Now, you talked of that growth, and Africa is known as probably the area of the world where the Catholic Church is growing the fastest. Mm. But in which countries on the continent is this growth most marked or rapid, in your opinion?
Well, I suppose I see it most in Nigeria. You know, the numbers there are huge, but the ratio of priests to Catholics in Nigeria is still huge. It's one priest for every 4,524 Catholics. Whereas in England and Wales and Scotland, it's one priest for every 915 Catholics. But Nigeria continues to produce priests and sisters, church leaders of the highest calibre. And I would hope that in the time to come, they will provide the next mission drive of the church. But I also know that parts of Kenya and Tanzania, Uganda, they're also experiencing a great growth through often very difficult circumstances. Some of the social conditions there in Uganda and recently in Kenya have been very, very tough. And the church has been a powerful witness of a peace and reconciliation, and particularly in Uganda, of deep compassion, caring for people through the this great war in the north, and through other social issues in the major urban areas.
Presumably you've visited many of these projects funded by your society. What kind of feedback do you get from the recipients of this support and aid?
Well, I mean, it's we don't do it for the feedback. We don't do it to get anything out of it in that sense, other than the fact of knowing that we are walking alongside some of our brothers and sisters through their growth and sometimes in their poverty. Therefore, the feedback that we get is always positive. It's always, please say thank you, please say thank you. And it's touched with, and please, if there's any more, can we? Do you know that it's the needs are immense. And I think there's an obligation on our part here in the West to do what we can to both inform our own church about those needs and to do what we can to support our brothers and sisters.
And are you planning, if financial circumstances permit, to increase the scope of your work?
Oh, that's always the case. Always. The more we have, the more we can spend, the more we can help. That goes almost without saying. And we'd love to try to make some more money here. You know, we're putting all sorts of things in place that will help us to focus our activities and the attention of the church on that particular part of our work.
And if you could sum up, what would you say are Missio's core values?
Good question. I think it's love, because it's our love, but it's our sharing and our proclaiming of the love of God in Jesus. I mean, there's no question there. And with that love is a deep compassion. And I think with that would also go then a sense of joy, of just being able to share the life of other people, other Christians, so intimately. And I think as well we have a deep respect, because unless there's the fundamentals of respect there, then what we're doing is giving from our excess. And that's not the theology of Missio. It is that we enable the other churches to grow in accordance with their own particular needs and traditions and culture. We're not telling them what to do with the money that we give them. That's up to them completely according to the projects that they've applied for. So love, compassion, joy and respect.
There to Monsignor John Dale, National Director of Missio in England and Wales.